May God bless us all and be with us. May he let his word become greater and more glorious to us and give us grateful hearts, for it is grace that we may believe, as the scripture says. Most people believe that, what they say about the scripture, and we may believe what the scripture says and how it says it. And this is a great grace. Last night we read from the sermon of Brother Branham, and today we will continue to read. I would like to read from the prophet Isaiah, because it is about the seed, from chapter 53, Isaiah 53. It is that chapter in all of the Bible that shows us Calvary in the Old Testament in a special way, describing the Lord in his suffering and dying. It says here in Isaiah 53, in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Yesterday, we read of this wonderful sermon that was preached in 1962, before the opening of the seals. It was actually the foundation. We deepened ourselves in it. We know Brother Branham not only preached, it was a spiritual growth. It was a base, a foundation. It was a build-up. Also here, it went from clarity to clarity and from knowledge to knowledge. Let us continue today with this sermon. The spoken word is the original seed. Here I read now on page 24. Page 24, the passage in the middle. This brings you right back to the spoken word. Then we are God's word made manifest. Jesus said the same thing. He that believeth on me, and who I am, what I came for, and the purpose I do, namely, to bring a man back to believe the word of God and take nothing else with it. The works that I do, he will do also. There you are. We read this passage already last night. I just quoted it once again to give an introduction. It is simply about that we recognize now that God has given his word in the original form to his people, which we receive as a divine seed, so that that what is necessary for the completion can come forth. I read on page 27, in the middle, God's word is just the same as it was when he spoke it back yonder thousands of years ago. The only thing it needs is water. Why don't we get a crop? Because we got the wrong kind of seed in. Brother Branham, we will come to it just now. He speaks then of the early and of the latter rain, of the teaching rain that was necessary for the sowing of the word and accompanies the sowing, and of the rain that comes before the harvest. Here, he speaks of a kind of seed, of a wrong kind, which then came in. And this reminded me this morning on a prophecy from the year 67, and I would like to read it here. From the 30th of July 67, and before I do that, I would like to give a remark here, that I believe with all my heart that God has spoken in our midst. We will not throw overboard the things that were right for the sake of the things that were wrong. Here I read the following. Ye were unto me a beautiful garden that I cultivated a lot. Just look at the beautiful kinds of plants which I myself have planted. And I have watered all, and I have pruned every tree. But there came a day, an hour. Look, who climbed there over the fence? Oh, it was the evil seed. It planted itself also here. But the axe is at the root. Only the good seed is mine. I believe that this was worked by the Spirit of God. There are people whom God plants and people who plant themselves. And from this comes the statement of the Lord, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted, it will be uprooted. You can read it in Matthew 15, verse 33. Now, I would like to read from page 28. When God and His people becomes one, that means when the Spirit of God waters the seed of God, the Word of God, it produces God. And then it's not the individual, but God. Why? Because you are dead. You are not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. Then what is it? It isn't you no more. It isn't the man. It's God in the man. It's the seed germ, like the spoken word at the beginning. If God's word is manifest in a man, then it is not the man, for the man has died. He can't be a hybrid and a son at the same time. He's either a son of death or a son of life. We just got read the word from Ephesians. God, who is rich in mercy, He has born us again unto a living hope. We were born into this world as a hybrid, as a mixture. But by the new birth, God transfers us back into the original intended condition. And this is the grace that was manifested on us, and until the completion will be manifest. It continues, so if he is a son of death, then give him over to the devil, that he kills him. A very strong statement. But there are people who want to go to hell with all their might. People who walk on the broad way consciously into perdition. No man, not even God himself, can stop them. This is their intention. And one really has to let such people walk on, even one feels very sorry. Then it continues, give yourself over to God one moment and let him kill the devil that's in you, that he casts him out and hollows you out, making you empty, cleanses you, putting out everything what is in us. Then let God plant his own life in you. Then it's not you no more. It's God's life, because it's God's word, watered by the Holy Spirit. It will produce the same thing. You see it?
Sobald der Heilige Geist es bewässert, wird dasselbe hervorkommen. Begreift ihr das?
We have heard it of the seed. The seed must be watered. It needs moisture to even spring up and then also to grow. On page 29, I read the last passage. Christ means the anointed one, a man that was anointed, God dwelling in him. What was it? The germ with the flesh, the anointed one, flesh being anointed with the Spirit of God, produced the Word of God made manifest. And we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace. There he was. He was God's Word made manifest. Then he died in order to pay the debt of our high breeding. There it is, for what it happened. That you could die to yourself, until you are no more yourself, and be filled with his word, because you believe his word. Then comes the Holy Spirit, who was in him. He comes down to water that word, to make it grow. We have sown plentifully the word seed. And also this is dealt with here, of the various kinds of seeds, that all will be followed by a harvest. And as certain as every seed, no matter of what kind it is, will be followed by a harvest, so certain, after the divine sowing of the word, a divine harvest will be brought in. It will be sons and daughters of God, born by the Spirit and by the word. We will see it just now. I read on. What does it mean? God manifesting, continuing the work of his first son, his only begotten, who died for our hybrid life, that he might reconcile us back to be sons and daughters of God. Oh, how precious this thought. God continues his work, the work of his firstborn. He continues it in the firstborn, the work that he started in the Son. He continues in his sons and daughters. The same work, the same thing, the same word, the same seed, the same spirit. As we earthy come all after Adam, so spiritually we all come after Christ, who is called the second Adam. A wonderful word, a wonderful statement. It continues here. To be sons and daughters of God, that through the church might flow the same life by the word, continuing the work, being manifested as it was in Christ. Christ was God's word made manifest, and he died. He gave his life that he might send the Spirit. He ascended in his body and sent the Spirit back to water that for what he paid the price for the redemption. If we will believe it, and we simply believe it, for it is true, because it happened on us, and because it happened on us, therefore we can believe it even better. If others would just have told us about it, then we would have a hard time to believe it. But because God was so gracious to us that he revealed himself to you and to me, that he spoke to you and to me, that his word fell in your and my heart, because of this we can believe, because it happened with us, on us, and in us, and will continue to happen. The Lord prepared himself a church through which he continues to work, through which he can perform his word, yes, to bring it to its fulfillment. I read the next passage. Now you say, why do you put the whole weight upon the Bible? This question I didn't ask, and no one of us. We are glad that God had a man who has laid the whole weight upon the Bible. The full weight he laid upon the Bible and on nothing else. And until the end, we will only preach what is written in the Bible, and everything else we will leave up to God. He will not be too late. Now you say, why do you put the whole weight upon the Bible? The Bible has got to be in you. The word is a seed. But as long as it is only written therein, it won't do nothing. But when it comes in here, when it comes into the heart, then it begins to manifest by the Holy Spirit the works of God. Then power comes. Then humility comes. Then visions come. All your know-it-all is gone. You become nothing. Christ becomes alive. When can he get alive in us after we died to ourselves? Two things cannot exist next to one another who are so contrary. So, to die with Christ, to have died to yourself, to your own thoughts, to all own intentions, whatever it might be, to be able to live the life that keeps us hidden in Christ and in God. I read on here. He lives. There it is. Cause he died, I live. He lives. That's it. Cause he died, I live. When I die, he lives again. You see the interdependence. Also a man who was born again unto a living hope must die to his own imaginations, must die to his own life over and again, so that Christ can live and the will of God can be done. I died out to myself, so in order I can have his life. And how do I do it? By taking his word, his seed, and put his seed in here by faith, and I believe it, and then it produces exactly what the Bible said. God used a prophet for a ministry in our time. He believed in the commission that God has given him. He brought the word. And because he believed, God confirmed it in an unprecedented way with any prophet. But now, we are asked and challenged. If God has sent a prophet and he believed and preached and the Lord vindicated the word, then we, who we have heard this vindicated message of God and who we believed it, we must firmly count with it that God manifests himself also through us and vindicates his word to be true. I read on the next page, 31 on top, all sons and daughters of God are predestinated. But you say, then will he condemn some? No, sir. You are here on free moral agent. But because he being God, the infinite one, he foreknew everything that would be. I spoke to you about it. He knowed who they are. This we all believe, that God knows all things. And as Jesus Christ was foreordained to die as the Son of God, so through him all sons and daughters of God were predestinated according to the good pleasure of his will. God doesn't begin to play today. God planned before time began. And this we also believe with all our heart. The last passage, or some lines of the last passage here. Christ couldn't help being what he was. He was the Son of God. That's it. See what I mean now? See, if you were intended, you see the word of God, you believe it. Because why? Because there is something new. God has said, I make something new. But the new things revealed by God, it must be laid into a renewed heart, that it can bring forth fruit. On page 32, the passage in the middle. That's the reason that God could work his works through Jesus. For he was the predestinated Son. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before 100 billion trillion years ago, as I said it earlier from Genesis 1 verse 1, He was right then predestinated to take his place. Amen. That's the reason he did the will of the Father. He was the Word made manifest. And every one of the other sons will have the same manifestation. And that's the ones that were predestinated. If we believe in predestination, and this we have to, if we think the Holy Scripture to be true, then we must also count with it, as being said here, that we, as sons and daughters of God, take our place. And as certain as every promise was fulfilled in Him the first, the only begotten Son of God, that was written in reference to Him, so of necessity, because the holy mouth of the Lord has said it, on the church of the living God, every promise must be fulfilled that God has given her. God does not break His word. The Scripture cannot be broken. It stays with what God said. On page 33, on top, just as He was predestinated, the word seed, the word of God, becomes flesh in you, in His church. You see what it is about? Not only in Him, but in you, in the church, it becomes flesh. You say, sure, Brother Branham, I believe every word. Then don't back up when it is about your traditions. How many back down despite of the revelation of the word and will of God when it's about certain things which don't fit into their concept, and they fall back into their traditions and leave the revealed word of God, and this may no more take place. Traditions have no room where revelation is. Let us leave them to them who delivered them since generations. We are not ordained to believe traditions. God has ordained us to believe His revealed word with all our hearts. And then comes revelation. Then comes an overall view and understanding. Hold fast to the word. Stay with the word. And watch what happens. Say, O Lord, I believe it. Send the Holy Spirit. We must make the decision in our hearts and confess with our lips, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe your word. Also this we emphasized. As long as the thing is only in the heart, without being spoken out with the mouth, the enemy can still shake around. But in the moment where that, what by the Spirit in the heart became a divine revelation to you, and you speak it out, it is a part of you and you are part of it. And Satan has to give way, because then we face him with the word of God. And this he cannot resist. Before we come now to a very awkward passage, I would like to say it here with a sincere heart, that I didn't know that Brother Branham would make such a jump in the thought in this sermon. But now it is just here, and thus we will also read it. On the same page, 33, in the middle of this passage, it is about the faith seed of Abraham that believes the word of God, regardless of what the circumstances were. There you are. You know, I feel like shouting, Brother Branham mentioned Abraham so many times. At that time, somebody told me, who listened to the sermons in Karlsruhe and in Zurich, that Brother Branham repeated himself and spoke about the story of Abraham over and again. But that God gave us in Abraham an extraordinary example, this the people forget. Abraham believed God. He obeyed God. He did what the Lord told him. And by this, he became the father of faith, who hear the word of the Lord, who believe it and do accordingly. Brother Branham says here, now I feel like shouting. I wished we would also feel like this, that we, of the revelation of the word of God, would be grabbed in such a way that it also could be seen outwardly. I read on. Look, just get it. The faith seed of Abraham, what was it? Not Abraham's body, but Abraham's faith. What did Abraham believe? The word of God. No matter what came, he called anything contrary to it as though it wasn't even there. Wouldn't that rip these denominations to pieces? It sure would. If the truth of even marriage and divorce was only brought out in its light that it's in here in the Bible, it would break up every church in this city and any other city if they try to line up accordingly. Strange statement. It's worth to think about it. Both sides are wrong. I can prove it by the word. They are both wrong. All right. I can prove it by the word. They are both wrong. All right. Whether a man should do this or do that, or a woman this or that, I'm not going to say it, because I got enough confusion now amongst them. See? Jesus said, let them alone. The blind lead the blind. They would just fuss about it, but they wouldn't believe it. Let us stop here for a moment. Just transfer yourself back into the year 1962. If you want to know it precisely, to the 18th of March of this year, and then later on to the year 65, when he spoke about this subject. And already here, Brother Branham says, it would just cause more confusion. They would just fuss about it. It wouldn't help them. The blind would continue to lead the blind. But there are people who became seeing. There are people who were helped, people who received the revealed word as being sent by God, and they can place the things biblically and divinely, not with scribes, but by revelation which God has given. I read on page 34, the passage in the middle, if now the word seed is just as predestinated as he was, what makes then the same water? Is the church of today a predestinated bride? Did God say he would have a bride without spot or wrinkle? Then she is predestinated, right? Also Christ was predestinated. He was the royal seed of Abraham. And what did it do? When the Spirit came on Christ, he bore record of the word of God. And when the water, the Spirit, falls on the word seed, then the royal seed of Abraham's faith in God's word will produce the same kind of a crop. How wonderful! The bridge was always made of the Redeemer to the redeemed, from the firstborn to the firstborn, and from the son to the sons and daughters of God. As already said, the same word, the same Spirit. It is only one God who works all in all. And this we see in what kind of way he does it. Namely, always according to his word, not according to our opinion. We are not even asked. We just have to do one thing, to believe, as the scripture has said, to let God work on us. The last lines on page 34. Who then is the seed of Abraham? Not the one according to the flesh. Paul said that not he is a Jew who is one outwardly, but he who is it inwardly. So who is the seed of Abraham? Those that believe the whole word of God. This is the seed of Abraham. Could Abraham interpret something? Could he ask, Lord, why must I do this now? Why can't it be different? The Lord spoke. It was a holy command. And it was carried out. On page 35, I read the last six lines. Jesus said, you never chose me, but I chose you. Oh yes. When did he choose them, the church? What did Jesus say when he chose his church? Before the foundation of the world. I read now the word. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Was it at the last revival that Dr. So-and-so held? No, no. Before the foundation of the world. Therein our faith comes to a rest. For only then it rests in God, who purposed all things before the foundation of the world according to the counsel of his own will. A person who doesn't believe this, his faith staggers to and fro. But if we believe, as the scripture says, then comes such a anchoring that cannot throw us out of balance anymore. Trials may come, sometimes hard ones, but they will serve us for the good. I read on page 36, after the Bible text, who did it? God. When did he do it? Before the foundation of the world. But if we come in an illegitimate birth through Eve's corruption, making us all her children and subject to death, then the sovereign God has to make a way to redeem his children. And all the Father has given me will come to me, and no man can come unless my Father draws him. Now where's your great big thing you done? You never done nothing. You ought to be ashamed. God has done all things. The wheel is a working just right. There are people who look on that, what they have done, and glory in it, and think they are great. And it's the same people who then look on others and see what they have done wrong, and look down on them, and think again they are great. And then there is a group that I would like to include us in, who don't look on themselves because something great was done, and who don't look on others because something awkward was done, but a group who thankfully lift up their eyes and hearts and voices to heaven to thank God for that what He has done. What could we contribute to our redemption and salvation? Nothing. When we were not even born, God has reconciled us in Christ on the cross of Calvary. When we had no guilt yet, when nothing was in existence yet, God settled already everything and has taken it from us. Redemption comes from the Lord and was given to us. Now comes also something strange, but it's just written here. Also for me, there are some surprises from which no one can be safe. I read on page 36. The other day, someone came to me and said something bad about me and accusing me of having done something wrong. And I said, "Oh, forget it. Nice English. Just forget it. So what?" And this man seems not to have been happy about it. I read on. He asked, "How can you take it so lightly? That involves your family. Hard thing." And he says, "Forget it. Forget it. How can you take it so lightly? This concerns your family." I wished I would like to have, like Brother Branham, a bit Indian blood in my veins so that I could take things more lightly. But as I said, we are as we are, earthy and divinely. I said, "Oh my, that was predestinated before the foundation of the world to give me a trial." What do you say now? "That was predestinated before the foundation of the world to give me a trial. And a test must be passed. Where there are no tests, there are no certificates. Nothing is certified there. We have to go through some kind of trials." And Brother Branham had a divine foundation. He didn't just believe in general, in the predestination, and took some areas and points again out of it. He believed in a total, all-including predestination of God in his life and his family, his ministry, his commission. He believed God. And therefore he could say, "Forget it. This was before the foundation of the world, predestinated to give me a trial." Sure, so that's all right. Humanly seen, this might have looked completely different. For the actual accusation has something in it, that something was not all right. And he says, "This is totally all right like that." And walks his way with God. May the Lord help me to do the same. He asked, "How do you do that?" I said, "If I looked right down this way, then I would be falling all the time." Also his life was not spared of trials which came within the family. But he says, "If I would always look on it, then I would be falling all the time." We cannot look on the obstacles, not even spending time with them, but we must either take them away or overcome them, for a way is not to stand on it, a way is to walk on it, and therefore we must walk forward by faith in the Lord. But that all things are predestinated, also the earthy, this comforts and strengthens me, and I believe also all of you. On page 37, approximately, in the middle we read, "So the believers of the Word and the Spirit must be one." You get it? the believers, the Word and the Spirit are absolutely one. You don't do your own thinking. You don't use your own mind. Isn't that wonderful? The mind that was in Christ is in you. The mind of Christ in you will take the Word just like He did, because He was the Word. And if the mind of Christ is in you, then you are the Word. You are God's living Word. You are representatives of Him here on earth by continuing the work. The church should be that way. Also, this thought we time and again emphasized: God in Christ and Christ in the church. As Christ worked the works of God, so we shall work the works of Christ. It goes on here. And when this is so, then the Bible is manifested again like in the early days of the disciples. Then the Bible is living again in you. Then the Word that is written here and was laid into our hearts is confirmed by the church, and by it becomes a living reality. Then we not only read what is written, then people see that the written Word became alive in them who believe it and found confirmation on them, namely the fulfillment of that what God promised. And also this we believe with all our heart. For God does not make empty words. He means what He says and says what He means. The last passage on this page: do you believe? All right. And when so, the Bible is manifested again like in the early days of Christ, cause you are a predestinated seed, just like Christ was. And when the rain falls on the seed, the life produces itself. Then the same happens as then, when the Holy Spirit fell on the seed, of which Jesus said that He has chosen them before the foundation of the world. Also, they were a predestinated seed. Is that right? They hauled themselves up in the upper room. The seed, the Word, was in them, but didn't come forth to life yet. All of a sudden, there came a sound from heaven, as the waters begin to gush down, and it actually filled all the house where they were sitting. Then the seeds begin to grow. It began to manifest itself, the Word of God being manifested. The Word of God had an effect. Both says the same: the Word of God being manifested. The promises became reality through them who believed and carried them. It was not only written, it could be heard, it could be seen, it could be witnessed that the Lord, as the risen one, was among His people just as He promised it. A little while, and the world sees me no more, but ye shall see me, for I will be with you all the days until the end of the world. And it is written, He worked with them and confirmed the Word by signs and wonders following. we just count with it that God does something. Not that a man now comes and says, so, I have the things under control. Such a person will not exist. I want to say it the other way around. May the moment come in which God has you and me, all of us, in His hand, so that He could do with us and through us what is pleasing to Him, namely to work that for what we are waiting for. I read on page 39, the sixth line from top. Open up your heart just a minute and listen. Remember, the Bible said in Genesis, in the text which we read, to base our thought for the day, that every seed brings forth after its kind. It will have to bring forth after its kind. That's right. Every seed will have to do it. Remember, the earth is full of seeds, and the rain makes it bring forth after its kind. I believe it is near the harvest time. Don't you believe it? You all agree with that. We are near the harvest time. Now the seeds have been planted. That's what's the matter with us. The seeds have been planted. Oh God, I wish you could see what passed before me right now. The seeds have been planted. Remember, there's a planting time and then a harvest time. You know that it is so. Now, there can be people who take this now very literal. And then when you do it and think as if everything has come to its completion, then Brother Branham would not have needed to preach another sermon since the 18th of March 62. He says here, the seeds have been planted. I could not read all things. He speaks of Oral Roberts, of Billy Graham. He speaks of sowers who have sown a certain seed, and some received that seed and the others this, and the seeds were received to later on, here and there, carry on the same seed. In the same way he saw that biblically a divine planting, namely the promises for this time, were put upon lampstand, and as a planting was made available. And right that, what God has made available for us, this we take to carry it. And I believe it's the prophet Isaiah who says, they go out with weeping and carry the precious seed and return fully loaded with the sheaves. They go under weeping, but they bear the precious seed of the Word of God, of the original Word, that may not be mixed. We heard this and we confirm it very joyfully, without any if and but, that we earthy seen are a mixture, a hybrid, that we were born to die. This we all know. But in the same way, I dare to say that God in Christ made the damage well, and that He who was crucified abolished your and my crucifixion to make us true sons and daughters of God. Also here, we have the timely placing in the Word of God. John writes, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when He shall appear, then we will be like Him, and this we believe with all our hearts. For we shall see Him as He is. On the same page, the last passage, now we are hearing so much and so many organizations and everything else talking about that we are now in the latter rain. Nonsense. No such a thing now. Oh, something is happening now. I can just see it passing before me. The Spirit caught it. Amen. I know this is the truth. It is thus saith the Lord. A vision just came now. Can't hardly look down here. Every time I look, I see it just moving up in front of me, like that, and breaking off, and move this way, and look this way. I've been trying to watch some fellows sitting around down here. Then I looked away, and everywhere I look, it looks like something is shown to me. Brother Branham saw visions while he preached. He saw visions while sitting, while walking, wherever. As we all know, he was born with this gift. He can remember the first experience in all of his life, and this was a vision. God has ordained him. I hope I'm right here. Or was it the man with the snowshoes? Doesn't matter, whatever it might be. He was born as a human being into this world for a very specific purpose. And as it was said to the prophet Jeremiah, that before he was formed in the mother's womb, he was ordained by God to be a prophet for the nations. That's how it was also with Brother Branham. He was born as a prophet. Nobody made him to be a prophet. God made him to be a prophet. And with his ministry, we were brought back to the Word. And we believe, as Reed emphasized yesterday, that the times of interpretations, of explanations and traditions are totally over. That we take the Word seriously, which was addressed to us. But here, in particular, it's about the term latter rain. And to it, Brother Branham says, there are people who say, this is all over, or it is now here. And he says, nonsense. Then he says, I see something, how it unfolds. And write this word, I see how it unfolds, reminds me on the third pull, on some other terms, which I don't want to mention now. He even says of the seventh seal, I saw how it unfolded, but I may not say it. We can be certain of it, that God has still some surprise for us. And at the right time, God will do the right thing. We don't have to worry about it. Also about this, we are glad that still some things are waiting for us. As it is today with us, it will not be on the day of the return of Jesus Christ. You can be sure of that. There will be a time, I can read it to you from the Word of God, Acts 3, 20 and 21, maybe half of verse 19. God will send a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and Christ remains in heaven until the time of restoration of all that, what God has spoken through the mouth of all the prophets since the world began. Right? In this connection, it is written of the time of refreshing which the Lord will send. May He send it soon. The sooner it comes, the sooner we are refreshed, and we all need a refreshing. I read on the next page, the second passage, the planted seed must have water before it can grow. The rain must fall before the seed that's been planted can grow. Now come some expositions. The seed must be planted, and then it must have water in order to grow. You say, well, Brother Branham, we have had the water. With this, I express your thought. So be it. That's correct. You have had the water. In the next passage, he says, what did we have in the planting time? The former rain. Oh, you say, Brother Branham, this is nonsense. One moment, please. Look at it in Joel chapter 2. The word former rain is written. You can look up the Hebrew word for it. If you want, write it down. It says more. Here Brother Brennan comes to the former rain, which happened in connection with the planting. And whoever reads the word there precisely will find out that at the end both will fall at the same time. Maybe Brother Brennan comes to it. Let us read the last sentence on page 40 and then 41. But the word is going to produce sons and daughters of God. Also this comes. Watch what this great letter rain supposed to do. Do you see what he's aiming at? To the letter rain. To the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's about the quickening power that refreshes everything. The power that must dwell in us to quicken our mortal bodies. Somebody said, when we see the dead, then we will receive the resurrection faith. And I could not do otherwise but say, not by the resurrection of the dead is given to me the resurrection power, but as it is written, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, then He will also quicken your mortal bodies. This is God's word, and by this it remains. It will not be something different. God has given to them who sleep in Christ their promise, namely that they will rise first. And God has given to them who live in Christ the promise that they will be changed. And together He has given us the promise that we will be raptured to meet Him in the air, to be with the Lord at all times. How nice it is to believe God's word with all your heart, to get rid of every pious fantasy that only leads to error and awakens false hopes and tears up people. Maybe not themselves, but separates them from one another. I read on, namely, on page 43, the last passage. Despite our mistakes, you say, well, I made a failure. Doesn't matter. Abraham made failures too. He cannot blot out the church. He can't kill the elected. He can't take your life, because you are a part of Him. You are the Word. The Word is in you. It is manifesting itself, proving itself through love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You believe every word of God, and every one of them work. God working through you. See, you are a part of the Word, which is Christ. And we are taught that He is the Word, and we are flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. There you are. Now we are coming down to something. Then again former and latter rain, but you can read it at home. For us, this is not new material. It is good to know that God has a plan with the church. It is good to know, to get an insight into this plan and to let yourselves be placed in it. And everything what God intended to do, this He will do then at the right time. On page 44, we read in the middle, now watch real close now. I believe I was on the subject on the rain, on the latter rain. All signs are pointing to the end now. Everybody that believes God's word knows that. Then the last passage. Obedience. Now look, I show you that we are in the end time. Even the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins is with us. Now look, the foolish virgins, they are the hybrid. They had the seed without the oil, the moisture, to make it grow. So there are two things. We saw it yesterday already. Some receive, they keep the word which they heard, and the Spirit makes it alive in them. The others receive the word and hybrid it and put their own views in it. And again, spiritual death sets in. When did the earthly death set in the Garden of Eden? Maybe also spiritual, maybe both, the one sooner, the other one later. When the word was trespassed, when own thoughts were received about the word, and the word in its original form was no more believed and not obeyed. Every time when this happens, comes spiritual death upon the church. But we believe that God, through the original word, He has taken us out of the spiritual prisons where death was and made us alive. That's how we heard it in the word of introduction. God has quickened us together with Him in Christ, provided we hear His word, receiving it in us, and the seed finds the resting place in our hearts, and the Spirit quickens it, then we are born again unto a living hope. On page 45, I read in the middle, look what kind of revivals they are having. Great revivals. Looks good, doesn't it? You say, yes, Brother Branham. Now you got us into a dangerous situation. That's where I wanted you. How you are going to know what's right and what's wrong? Give it the word test. That's the only way to tell whether it's right or wrong. Just give it the word test. Perhaps somebody hears this sermon who has a problem with this. But I do it anyhow, that I say what I have to say, and I suddenly feel urged to do it. How many compare the statements of Brother Branham with each other without taking them back into the Word? And they have such a list of various statements. They exceed every measure and limit. Here Brother Branham says, compare everything with the Word. Check everything with the Word and then find out whether it's right or not. God is the God of His Word. Thanks be to Him throughout eternity. There will be no other God except you make yourself one, and then it's an idol and no more God. God is and remains God forever. So what must we do to compare everything with the Word of God? And then taking our final stand in the Word and on the Word. See what it says about the Word. Any spirit, see what it says about the Word. If it denies the Word, it's not of God. No matter what it is, if it denies the Word, it's not of God. How many did I meet? And may God forgive me now, and may He not be angry with me. How many did I meet? And I call them today, like others also call them, Branhamites. Not followers of Jesus Christ, but Branhamites, who just say that God has spoken, and this word, the Bible, we didn't understand. Now God has sent a prophet. Leave this now. We hold fast to this now. What did Brother Branham preach from? Where did he have to lead us back to? To the original word. And what is the original word? The word of God remains forever. heaven and earth shall pass away. I believe that Brother Branham was sent with the original word to bring us back there. You know, one cannot speak about everything, but the pain in my soul is so terrible. If one travels throughout the world and others can point to it, that unbiblical things are preached, how terrible is then the pain, and how good that I can then bring help and say, one moment please, this is not of William Branham. This comes from them who interpreted his words. William Branham was a true man of God, a prophet of the Most High. And so God uses me to tell the people that what they need for clarification, not just briefly, and then we come to a close. On page 49, the last passage, every seed must come after its kind. God made man in his image, after his kind, to be his word on earth. He expressed in Jesus Christ what he was. God was in Christ. That's a man after his kind. God is the Word. How many knows that he is the Word? The Word was in Christ, a man, a human being, and was expressed through him. That was God, the Word, in Christ, expressing himself. In the beginning, God made man in his own image. That's the kind of man that God makes today. Man, and this we also said and emphasized already, the believing man, the true children of God, will be again that after the completion, what they were before the fall, perfectly in the image of him who created us. That's the reason he had to come into a body of flesh to redeem us who we have sinned in this body of flesh being separated from God, and to give us the opportunity to come out, to then again be transferred into his image. What a harmony in all of the Word of God. On page 50, the little passage in the middle, Jesus was God's expressed word. Do you believe that? Then what are we to be? Also sons of God, with the expressed word in the church, carrying on. That's the mystical body of Christ, carrying on the same works that Jesus did when he was here on earth. That's the kind after his kind. Everything brings forth after its own kind. And here, Brother Branham uses such a strong statement. That's the kind after his kind. Everything brings forth after its own kind. Jesus, as the corn of wheat, he was laid into the ground. And it's written, if it doesn't die, then it remains alone. But if it died, then it brings forth much fruit. And exactly this took place. The same corn of wheat that individually was laid into the ground comes then forth multiplied in the harvest. 100% the same contents in the harvest, in the ear, as they were earlier in the corn that was laid into the ground. Amen? So, in the completion, every son and every daughter of God will be in the image of Jesus Christ our Lord. Perfect as he was. 100%. Can you believe it? That's how it will be. I hope we have no problem to believe God. On ourselves, we have been disappointed, but not on God. He keeps what he promises. One could read many, many things about it. I hope it was an incentive to read some passages so that we continue to search at home and deepen ourselves in it, letting God speak to us. Here Brother Branham sets forth some other things. I just would like to read something of his prayer, on page 53, last passage. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are not trying to bring the meeting to a close, but just a halt for a little rest for a few moments. And now may these seeds that's been sown this morning, may they have fallen upon good fertile ground. May they bring forth abundance, Lord, abundance of eternal life. Now we pray, Father, that these seeds that sown will be lying waiting for the latter rain to fall, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. O God, may we not run ahead of the word, but that we stay with the word. Grant it, Lord. To this prayer, I have nothing to add. I just would like to emphasize the wish which he expressed. May the Almighty God succeed to make people out of us who truly can wait until God's hour comes, and we bear this precious divine seed in our hearts as the original Word of God, and as true as Christ, the Word, died and rose, so certain we believe that the same God will on us who believe Him, He will glorify and will vindicate His Word completely. God has a church on earth which was predestinated in these last days to hear the pure Word, a church that doesn't mix it again, but receives and accepts it as it was delivered. May the blessing of God rest upon all of us. Amen. We stand up for prayer. Maybe we sing the chorus, Just As I Am. Faithful God, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, also for you speaking this morning. We know it's not the words of a man, but you have spoken to us through your precious and holy word. We are so grateful for it. May it have fallen deep into our hearts, and may it bring forth fruit for eternity. Give it to me, Lord. Give it to all of us, Lord. Even we are put into trials, Lord, may we withstand, Lord. May we not look so much on the trial, but may we look on you, Lord, who you lead and guide us, Lord. Before the foundation of the world, everything was predestinated for us, Lord. Let us accept everything thankfully and praise your name. And thank you, Lord. Help us all to do it, Lord. Bless my brothers, my sisters. Bless all who have come, Lord. and give grace in the meantime. Lord, help us, and then we are helped. Bless us, Lord, and then we are blessed. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.